Okay, great. We're rolling. So, Claire, tell me where we are.
Okay, we're at Alcatraz and Adeline and Martin Luther King.
Clark lives in a cluster of tents on a strip of grass next to the sidewalk. We're at the border between the cities of Berkeley and Oakland.
And we're here at our camp, which we call the Here and There Camp. This is our community tent slash kitchen. You know, we have solar panels. We have music. We have a stove. You know, we have everything that normal housey people have.
Another thing they have? 6 lanes of traffic passing by, spewing exhaust a few feet away from the closest tents. For Clark in particular, this is a problem.
Well, let's start off. I have COPD.
That's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a lung disease that makes it hard to breathe.
And then a couple of years ago, I had atrial fibrillation, which is when your heart beats irregularly and fast.
I met up with Clark to explore a question we've had ever since smoke from wildfires started darkening the skies of the Bay Area a couple years ago. When the air gets so bad that public health officials tell everyone to stay indoors, what happens to people who don't have an indoors to stay in?
I mean, we don't have enough shelter on a day-to-day basis for people, right? So
that's Alameda County Interim Health Officer, Dr. Erica Pond.
I feel like that's the bottom line. I mean, we don't.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think we know, and we know, right? We know just in terms of even in the last 2 years.
Lucy Kasdan is director of Alameda County's healthcare for the homeless.
We know the numbers of homelessness have increased by 47%. So our ability on a daily basis, much less in an emergency, to be able to respond in a way that's adequate to meet the need, I think is something that kind of as a community we are challenged by.
Last year's Butte County campfire was 150 miles away from where Clark sleeps, but it sent so much smoke this way, the sky changed color for almost 2 weeks.
You know, you can see the air, you know. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there's a big fire going on.
Schools closed. Health officials told the public to stay indoors, but they were struggling to open up safe places for people like Clark. Eventually, it left him with just one option.
I knew that I was going to have to check myself into the hospital sooner or later.
A year after smoke from the campfire filled the skies in Alameda County, public officials are still identifying locations for clean air shelters. They couldn't tell me how many, and they couldn't tell me how many people they could fit. Medical researchers are just starting to grapple with everything that air pollution, especially the toxic mix coming from the first few days of the campfire, does to the human body. Dr. Coco Auerswald is a professor at UC Berkeley's School of Public Health.
We used to think of the effects as being more compartmentalized and more related to our respiratory system, so our lungs. In fact, it has a systemic effect on our body.
When smoke enters the lungs, there's a cascade of inflammatory responses that can attack almost every organ system. For someone who's starting with multiple medical conditions, that can be very dangerous.
It's really another assault on their bodies to be exposed to the smoke, and extremely stressful because it just highlights their vulnerability. And so if you're exposed to an additional trauma, be it that trauma being violence or the physical violence of having to be in smoke all the time, that is absolutely going to exacerbate your mental health.
What Clark noticed during the campfire is that it got harder and harder to breathe. Eventually, he checked himself into Alta Bates Hospital. They told him his blood oxygen absorption had dropped.
And normal people, it's about 95. And that particular day, it was 80.
They gave him supplemental oxygen and a steroidal inhaler.
You know, I almost died, basically. And if I hadn't checked myself in, I probably wouldn't have, one of those mornings when the air was heavy, that I would either die gasping for breath or something would happen like that.
They kept him in the hospital for about a week. Then 2 more weeks in skilled nursing, then, at Clark's insistence, let him back out to the street. Without enough safe breathing spaces, there's only one other form of assistance public officials have, and that's masks. Specifically, breathing masks rated N95, which means they filter out 95% of particles greater than 0.3 microns in diameter. Again, Lucy Kasdan.
And so over the course of the campfire, we were able to give out 13,000 masks throughout the county.
Wearing an N95 mask is not an option for many people, like Clark, who has breathing issues and a beard. Again, Dr. Erica Pond.
There are just a lot of caveats to that, and so that is why, you know, it's a last resort. And they can really make it harder to breathe, and unfortunately it might impact some people who already have, who you most want to protect if they have underlying heart or lung disease.
Also, there hasn't been a lot of research on how effective N95 masks are during air pollution from wildfires.
There's no clear evidence that using an N95 respirator by members of the general public is beneficial to a person's health during one of these situations, during a wildfire smoke air quality event.
The masks also get clogged and need to be replaced, so getting enough of them out there during an extended air quality event is a massive undertaking. But the largest distributor of N95 masks in the Bay Area wasn't an official agency, but a small operation run entirely by volunteers.
Here we are.
That's Quinn Redwoods.
We're at the storage unit.
They're the founder of Mask Oakland.
This is like about 15,000 masks. I'd say the room is like, I don't know, would you say like 12 by 12?
Stacks of cardboard boxes fill the room.
So our math is that we brought in about 100,000 and 15,000 are in this room and then 85,000 went out.
Volunteers and organizations handed masks out on the streets, at BART stations, in homeless encampments.
One of the most emotional things that happened to me sometimes was like folks who were houseless trying to give me money for the mask. And I would have to explain like this was donated, like it's okay. And they're like, are you sure? And they'd be like, I really want to give you this dollar.
Quinn says there are 15,000 masks in the storage unit ready to be distributed. That's about three times what Alameda County currently has on hand. Mask Oakland is monitoring the Kincaid fire and are planning to distribute masks if air quality index levels approach 150, which is considered unhealthy. Scientists say climate change is increasing the length of fire season and the size of fires, which means we'll see more and more extended smoke events like what happened in the campfire. For people like Jackie Williams in San Francisco, the damage has already been done.
And where are we right now? Can you kind of describe?
We're in San Francisco down at the Tenderloin on Hyde Street, right in front of Faithful Fools.
And is this where you're currently living?
Jackie has been unhoused since 2014. She's got asthma. She says she's been coughing since the fires last year.
Do you think that like the smoke from the fires last November, did that like impact your asthma at all?
Yeah, it did, because it started, you know what I'm saying, it's like, lately, I've been like having like, you know, like cramps up in here. And half the time, I don't even be doing it, but just chilling back, burning out the batteries in my cell phones. If I allow myself to panic, I won't be able to breathe. It'll make your, you know what I'm saying, like your lungs and everything like constrict, and then that closes off your air passage.
Is it something that someone could potentially die from?
Yes. Yeah, you can.
Do you think you'll want to try to get shelter this year?
Wildfire happens this year. I suggest they keep me a uniform and everything else so I can go help them put it out. That's about it.
For KPFA, I'm Lucy Kang with reporting help from Ren Farrell.